Boys and girls, it's time for Super Church. Let's give all of our boys and girls a big round of applause and let them know that we love them today. Can we do that? Praise God. There we go. Do we have our Bibles on us today? We good? Did you bring it? Okay. Again, great place to bring your Bible is church, house of God. We'll never criticize you for doing that. And today I want to invite you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 is where I'd like us to direct our attention today. Acts 4, beginning in verse 24. We are continuing a series that we began last week entitled A New Year's Revolution. A revolution. And I've asked the Lord to show us how we might be able to see Him equip us so that we can become stronger in our personal walks with the Lord. Again, this is the time where many of us will set goals. Some of us have set resolutions and broken them, maybe set a plan B and broken that. And we're just kind of existing now, right? I mean, why did I get that gym membership, some of us are asking. And I don't want this just to be a resolution. I really want to see God help us, equip us to have a change in our spiritual behavior. I'm not here to suggest that you're slacking or you're struggling or you're not doing well spiritually. But here's what I do know. If we stop growing, then we start dying. And so it's important for us as followers of Christ to be in a constant growth mode. And so for the month of January, I've chosen for us to explore just a few topics here. Let me show you what those are. Now, last week, we talked about making small changes in our spiritual lives. If you missed that message, check it out online on our website. And I think you'll be blessed by that. We talked about making small adjustments to make ourselves spiritually more healthy. Today, we're going to talk about big prayers. Lord willing, next week, we're going to talk about those small sins that seem to interfere in our lives. Quote, small sins. And then finally, we're going to close this series, Lord willing, by talking about a big God, that big God that we serve. So today, I want to talk about big prayers. Big prayers. I want to try to suggest to you that you could do a little bit more in your prayer life. I'm not suggesting that you pray longer. I'm not suggesting that you try to adapt some new prayer pattern or any of that. But I really want the focus of your prayer to be enhanced just a little bit, changed. I don't want to, and you're going to hear me say this a few times, I don't want to belittle how you might be praying now. That'd be very inappropriate for me to do. What I want to do is challenge you to pray differently as well as how you're praying now. Does that make sense? It's all going to make sense at the end. I promise you that. And if not, just say amen, say good sermon, and then we're good, okay? It's all about me. So just kidding. So I want to take you to a point in the early formation of the church, okay? The day of Pentecost is taking place in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and then in Acts 3 and 4, we see this first huge miracle where Peter and John are on their way to church. They see a lame man at the gate. He's been lame since birth, and God heals him through Peter and John. Well, Peter and John get arrested for that by the religious leaders, and they're questioning them and say, what's going on here? And of course, they've been preaching that Jesus is the Messiah, and that's not selling too well with the Jewish leaders anyway, because they don't like that message. That goes against what they've been teaching for years and what they still believe. And Peter and John state their case, and it turns out that they're threatened to never preach Jesus again. Now, our United States 21st century mindset can't even fathom that. We can't fathom in our democratic society somebody telling us that we can't say something. In fact, for many of us, that would be the motivation to say something, good or bad, because somebody told us not to say something. You know who you are. And so here's the church. They've been warned. The leaders of the church have been warned. Don't you ever preach in the name of Jesus again. And that brings us to this text today. As a result of that threat, as a result of that experience, the church together prayed a really big prayer. A big prayer. And I want to challenge you with that prayer. And what happened with that prayer? I want to challenge you today to maybe pray some abnormally big prayers in your life. Sound good? All right, stand up with me in honor of God's word. We're going to read this together. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow on the screen. Acts 4, verse 24. And we're going to go to verse 35. Y'all ready? All right. Are you there? All right. Starting in verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. That's the intro to their prayer. Now comes the big prayer. You ready? Now comes the big prayer. Here's what they said in response to all that. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would challenge us to pray some big prayers, prayers that are way beyond us. God, prayers that maybe we're even scared to pray. God, I pray that you would challenge us to pray those kind of prayers with a faith and a trust in you that doesn't even make sense. So Lord, challenge us today, I pray, and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to challenge us to pray prayers that are different than usual. I want us to pray prayers that don't necessarily have a backup plan. You know? I mean, sometimes we pray prayers and we say, oh God, help me get rid of this headache. And we pray that while we're grabbing the Advil, you know, it's just like, okay, God, it's either you or the Advil. And I'm not mocking Advil, okay? So, you know, don't send me nasty emails, you know, or anything like that. But sometimes we pray prayers sometimes that are pretty easily answered, whether God's involved or not, if we're honest with ourselves. Now, sometimes there's some situations that we don't know what to do. So the last thing that we could do is pray, but here goes, and maybe this will work, and sometimes that's our mentality. Sometimes we have a faith that's pretty big. And again, today I'm not suggesting that we abandon the prayers that we might always pray. For example, every day in my car, when I take my son to school, and you've heard me say this before, there's a hill that we go up and then down right before my son's school, and that's when my hand, it used to be when he was in the car seat, I'd reach back, so thank God he's older, and since I'm older, I can't do that so well anymore. So I just kind of put my hand over here, and he knows. Take off the headphones, grab my hand, and we pray. And I pray for safety. I pray that God would surround his angels around that school. I pray that God would bless him and go before him. And those would be my normal prayers that I often pray for my son. I pray for all of you. And there's some weeks where you make me pray a whole lot harder. You know who you are. And so, you know, I find myself praying for you. Obviously, I pray for my beautiful wife. I pray for my brother. I pray for my dad. And these are normal prayers that probably a lot of you can relate to. And today I want to suggest that you not abandon those prayers, but maybe add to them. That's what I want. I'm not asking you to get rid of your prayers or your prayer life right now. I'm just suggesting that possibly you could add to what you're currently praying. I want to suggest that you pray some big prayers. So the question is, okay, does that mean I got to pray louder? No. Does that mean I got to pray longer? No. In fact, if you read this prayer, it wasn't a real long prayer, was it? Not a lot of fancy words, even in the King James or the Message Bible, whatever it might be. I think I just want you to look at the bigness of your prayers. So the question is this: what does a big prayer look like? What do big prayers look like? What can we learn from when the church gathered after Peter and John were released and threatened, "Don't you ever preach again"? What can we learn from this particular prayer and what happened afterwards? I think this could be pretty good. Let me show you. Number one, big prayers are uncomfortable. How many of you are glad you came to church today already? Big prayers are uncomfortable. They're not safe. I'm talking about big prayers. They're not easy prayers. No, Lord, help me to take this next step on the stage. Yay! You know, nothing like that. And please, I'm not making fun of prayer. But prayers that, if they're answered, may very well take us out of our comfort zone. Have you ever noticed the qualification that we put to a lot of our prayers? God, answer this as long as I'm comfortable with it, okay? As long as I approve of this message, go ahead and do it, God. But big prayers are a little bit different. Again, look at verse 29. Here's how this whole church prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, again, okay, I want you to look at that verse, all right? Let's put ourselves in this position, okay? Let's say Kyle and I, we just performed a miracle on our way to the Mexican restaurant lunch. Yes, we have issues. And so on our way, there's a crippled man, and Kyle says, "Silver or gold have I none. That's why pastor's paying. But in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk," and a miracle takes place, and then we get called before the authorities. And Kyle and I are told, "Don't you ever preach in the name of Jesus again. No more miracles, no more services, no more preaching like that. None of that stuff ever again. Don't you ever do that again." When we come back to you and say, "Hey, we need to pray about this," what would you pray for? If you were in that position, what would you pray for? "Oh, God, keep me safe. I don't want to go to jail." Wouldn't you find yourself praying that, "Oh, God, save"? And nothing wrong with praying for safety. Nothing wrong with that. "Oh, God, we need a better strategy. God, direct us to go to a different place for lunch, obviously. God, show us, especially there's a coupon, God, help us. Lord, I would ask you that you just make us happy. Just make us happy. Because we want to be happy with pie and coffee and wings and stuff. That's what we want, God. Lord, we need wisdom, God. We need wisdom as to how to handle this. They didn't pray any of those. Their leaders got arrested or called before the authorities, threatened to never preach, and this entire church says, God, we are praying for boldness. Would that be first on your prayer list? Honestly? If knowing that associating with us would get you in trouble. If knowing that speaking the name of Jesus again would get you in trouble. If knowing that the leadership of the city of Akron and the whole all these counties were against everything that you stand for, how would you pray? They did not pray for safety. They didn't pray for wisdom. All they did said, oh God, just give us boldness. You know what that is? That's a big prayer. That's not a normal prayer. Are you getting this? The 21st century church, and again, rightfully so, there's nothing wrong with praying for safety. There's nothing wrong with praying for strategies, but the first thing that they prayed for, God, give us boldness. Because we know what you've called us to do. We can't stop this. God, we know what your son said. Your son said we got to do this. So we have to obey him. So Lord, we're asking you, please give us boldness to do your work. What motivated that big prayer? It's not the prayer for boldness that was necessarily what I would call big. It was the attitude behind it that was big. Let me say it again. It wasn't just the prayer for boldness that was necessarily big. What was big was the attitude behind it. Why? Look at the next slide. Because they were more concerned about the will of God than they were about their own personal comfort. Am I the only one getting this? They were more concerned that God's message would be preached. They were more concerned that God's will would be done rather than for them to be comfortable. And that flies in the face of 21st century United States Christianity. God, this is too tough. So if you can kind of pass this on to the church next door. God, this is crazy. I bet the chapel could handle this. Why don't we just throw this to the chapel? Not little Bethel church. They didn't say stuff like that. And they said, God, we know that you've called us. We know we have a mandate from you that the world has to hear your message. And now we've been threatened. Our comfort level has totally been thrown. So, Lord, I'm asking you that you would give me boldness because it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. And I promise you, it got tough. All you got to do is read the next few chapters. Can I ask you, what's your motivation in your prayers? You know, when I pray for growth, here, I'll be transparent with you. When I pray for growth in this church, am I praying that just so that I can say, hey, look at my numbers, you know? Look how many seats we're filling. Or am I praying that because, Lord, I just want to see your will accomplished. I don't care about another award. God, I don't care about getting recognized by man. I want to make you proud and make you famous. And if it means that I'm not going to get comfortable, if it means that I won't get recognized, if it means that some people may not like me, then give me the boldness to do what you want me to do. Give me the boldness to obey you. That is a big prayer. That's a huge prayer. Does that make sense? So that's number one. Big prayers are what I would call uncomfortable. Number two, big prayers are what I would call unrestrained. Unrestrained. I want you to notice something about verse 30. As we talk about big prayers being unrestrained. Look at verse 30. It says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Stop. Do you know what I don't see? I don't see the word me in there. I don't see the word us in there, at least not in this version. I don't see any bless me prayers there. See, because when you pray big prayers, you're not just praying for yourself like you normally would. God, meet my needs. God, we pray for your blessing. Nothing wrong with those. Nothing wrong with those prayers. It's very biblical for us to pray that way. But if we want to go to a next level, we're actually praying for other people. Our focus is more on others than it even is on ourselves. That's when we get into big prayer level. 21st century Christianity says, oh, God bless me. I mean, goodness, even Christian media can get very caught up in our getting the blessing. I would love for us to see United States Christianity get caught up in seeing people get saved more than how to get rich. Bless me, give me, provide for me. Again, and again, again, again. Nothing wrong with praying those prayers. I could show you scriptures where it's very appropriate to pray for God's provision and God's blessing. But here's the deal. Big prayers are not all about us. Big prayers are not all about us. They're about other people. That's when our prayers start getting big. When it's not always praying about me, but now I'm praying for other people. If I see somebody who's struggling, I will pray for that person. If I see somebody who's caught in sin, I will not judge them. I will not compare them to me. I will pray for them. I will ask God how I can be used to bring them back into the faith. Are you getting this? See, your prayers get bigger when the focus is not just on you. They could have prayed for safety. Oh, God, I'm praying that you would just provide for us so that we can keep doing your work. God, keep us from those nasty Jewish leaders and those bad Roman soldiers. None of that. They said, Lord, I'm praying that you would heal other people. That's what they prayed. In fact, did you catch the end of that verse, Sue? Can we show them that verse again? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. Through, and get this, it wasn't so we could show people just how powerful we are. God, please do this through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So their focus was God, not just me, others, and not for our glory, your glory. That's when our prayers get big. That's when our prayers get big. God, I'm not just asking you to make me more comfortable or more rich or more this or more that or abundant this and abundant that. And again, yeah, God, if that's your will, pour it on. Fine, great. But, Lord, I'm also praying for my loved ones who don't know Jesus just yet. I'm praying for my coworkers who are struggling. I'm praying for that person that I work with who has cancer. I am praying for that family in my son's school that is going through such a hard personal time right now. I am praying, Lord God, that you would touch my neighbor who is struggling so much. That neighbor who hates me. I pray that you would just show him what your love is really all about. Are you getting this? This is when our prayers get big. It's when the focus is not just on ourselves, but other people, unrestrained. Unrestrained.
We don't just keep it to ourselves. We pray for others, all for the glory of God. Number three, here's a third description of big prayers. Number one, we learned that big prayers are rather uncomfortable. Secondly, that they're unrestrained. Number three, big prayers are unlimited. At least the results are. When you pray big prayers to a big God, get ready for big things. Want proof? Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Verse 31 says this. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Let me go there. You know what's interesting? Not once in that prayer did they say, God, send an earthquake. Not once. In fact, they didn't even pray that the Holy Spirit would fill them again so that they would boldly preach. I'm sure they were cool with it, but none of those were even prayed for, and yet this incredible God heard this big prayer, and then he did some incredibly big things that they were not expecting. Oh, some of you didn't get that. You see, when you pray big prayers to a big God, then he will do big things. And it may be big things that you weren't even praying for. It may be big things that you weren't even expecting. Nobody said, God, it'd be really cool if you'd shake this place up a little bit. Earthquake. Minimal damage, but earthquake. Go. It's not what he did, what they did, but he sent that huge display of his power at that moment. Can I talk to some of us in here who have prayed some very big, sincere prayers in the past? And God answered those prayers, but they were in a way that you weren't expecting. And that could tend to derail some people's faith. Hey, God, all I did was pray for boldness. I wasn't asking you to shake the place up. In fact, let's be straight, okay? Because we read the story, and we somehow assume that everybody in the church, while the earthquake is going on, while the place is being shaken, they're like, isn't this wonderful? Okay, there's parts of me still jiggling after all that. Okay, I don't think so. Okay, if I'm praying and all of a sudden an earthquake happens, just like, we're going to die, right? How many of you would just handle that like, oh, bless the Lord, this is just wonderful. I doubt that. So sometimes when God answers big prayers with incredible displays of his power, it may be a little nerve-wracking. Or dare I say, it might even scare us a little bit. When God chooses to answer your big prayer and he starts shaking things up in your life. I hope you're, this is so good. I mean, that's what God does. God's hearing this big prayer, says, I got you. And while we're at it, and then he empowers and fills people with the Holy Spirit, and then they're able to share God's word so boldly after that. And seeing that's what the Lord does. He doesn't always give us what he asks, what we ask, but he always gives us what we need. God, give us boldness. I'll give you more than that. God, we want this. Okay, I'll give you more than that. Lord, I just want you to get rid of everything that is harmful in my life. Okay, when you pray that prayer, things might start shaking. And you may not like the quake. But I've said it so many times, if it's God, it's good. So he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Big prayers are unlimited because God hears those big prayers and then he does big things and maybe it's even some stuff that you don't even expect coming. And then finally, today, big prayers are unselfish. Well, Pastor, didn't you already talk about that? Oh, it goes to a different level. Now, again, the person writing this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is Luke, the doctor. Same doctor who wrote the book of Luke, and now he's the author of the book of Acts. And me, in my thinking, I'm thinking, okay, this story takes an interesting turn. And to be honest with you, for me, at first I would think this is kind of an ADD moment for Dr. Luke. This is kind of like a squirrel, you know, and it goes somewhere totally different. It's like, where'd this come from? But then it dawned on me that verses 31 through 35 fit perfectly with this big prayer. Look at it. Picking up right in the middle of verse 31. And they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were, look at this, because some of us would stop there and expect, they performed healings, and they called fire from heaven, and they multiplied food like Jesus did. But look at this. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales, and they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. There was nothing selfish about them. Listen to me, please. A natural byproduct of big prayers is generosity. Your heart will follow your prayers, and your money will follow your heart. Should I say that again? See, your heart will follow your prayers. And your resources, your money, will follow your heart. See, here's the deal. Big prayers, they're not just about God doing big miracles and shaking things up. But big prayers are also about God transforming people's lives and hearts in big ways. That's what prayer does. Again, some of us, we consider prayer the wishing well. Okay, God, I want, you know, we drop the coin in the well. I want a pony and we think that's all it is. Getting stuff. That God's last name is Claus. So yeah, I get that. But that's not all prayer does. When I pray to God and I start praying big prayers, you know what he does? You know what he does? He does big transformations in me. And all of a sudden, I go from being this version of Phil Anderson. And then when I start praying bigger prayers to that big God, asking him and believing him for big results, he also does big changes in me. And he makes me a better version of Phil Anderson than I was before. See, and that's precisely what prayer does. It's this communication with God that transforms your heart and it makes you more like the Savior. And if you know anything about God, you know that he is a giving God, that he loves to bless. He loves to give. His word says that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory. This is the way God is. And so if you become more like God, you become more of a generous, giving follower of God. And all of that gets intensified when you pray big prayers. And that's why this section's in here. It's not just a transition to chapter 5 when we get that story about Ananias and Sapphira. It's about a transformation that took place in the hearts and the lives of the people. See, I would suggest to you that the building was not the only thing that got shook up, but it was the lives of the people that were praying those big prayers. If you want your life transformed, if you want to be more like Jesus, no matter where you're at in your personal walk with God, no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, if you want to be more like Jesus, then the starting point is in your prayer life. Spending time with him. I've told this funny story before. When I did youth pastoring for all those years, it was amazing the transformation that would take place in two girls that maybe would not be friends before, but then they would hang out together more and more, and then they'd all just like, you know, talk the same all the time, and like every sentence ended with a question mark, right? And they'd have the same manner as us, and it's like, how did this happen? It's hard dealing with one of you, now I got two of you. How'd that happen? Because they were spending time with each other. It's the same concept with God. The more time you spend with God, the more like him you'll become. Big prayers produce big changes inside of us. And they make us more generous. They make us more giving. They make us more caring. They make us more sympathetic for the hurting. I'm convinced that God blesses this church every year because of what we do with that giveaway. When we will love hundreds of people with no strings attached, when we will take time just to love on the needy, and maybe just for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours or so, we will make them believe the truth that they are significant to God, that we love them, and God will take care of them. Folks, that is not a program. That is a transformation. That's what that is. Big prayers. Can I ask you this morning, what big prayer do you feel you need to pray to God? A prayer that might not be safe, a prayer that is beyond normal. A prayer that's not just about you, but it's a prayer for someone else. A prayer that if it gets answered the way you're praying, it may not be easy. It may be very different from that point on if it gets answered. A prayer where God just might take his liberty and say, you know what, I'm not only going to answer that, but I'm going to do some other stuff that you don't even pray for, that you don't get, that maybe you don't even understand. It might even freak you out a little bit, but trust me. Those are the kind of prayers I'm asking you to pray. What's God saying to you? Not just God bless this food, amen, but what is God saying to you about the big prayer? Maybe that prayer that you've been afraid to pray. That life-altering,
heart-changing, supernatural, working, big prayer. Will you stand with me? Did you get anything out of this today? Okay. Oh, good. I want to challenge you to pray some big prayers. Sue, can you pray the, can you play the, and you're entitled to pray too, but can you play the, you know what I need? And, she does her job so well. I want to challenge you to pray those big prayers. What is it that God's leading you to pray? It might be a prayer for your city. It might be a prayer for other people. It might be a prayer that if God doesn't intervene, you don't know what's going to happen. Those kind of prayers. That's one I want to encourage you to pray. So what's the Lord saying to you? I want to invite you to begin praying that big prayer today, here in this place. I want to invite you to pray for that person. Or maybe it is about you, but it's bigger than just God, just let your will be done. Again, not mocking that, but maybe you're ready to go big and say, God, heal me. I'm not content having this disease the rest of my life. God, heal me. Those kind of prayers. God, I'm not content seeing my loved ones go to hell. I God, save them. Those kind of prayers. Prayers that are not normal. Can I challenge you to pray those prayers today? I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm going to give all of us a chance to do what we've been talking about, pray some big prayers. And when God has released you and when you're all done praying, whether it be just for a few moments or maybe a little bit longer, then you're dismissed to fellowship with one another in the lobby. I just ask that we not talk a lot in here so that we don't disrupt anyone who might be praying. But I want to turn you loose to pray these big prayers to this big God. Believe him for big results and big transformations, and I believe that he can begin that today. How about you? So I'm going to say amen, and if God's leading you to pray, do so. If God's released you, you can be dismissed, but let's just make this a house of prayer. Lord God, we come to you today, and we're asking you that you would honor big prayers, prayers that might make us uncomfortable if the results come. Lord, things that might even happen that we don't understand. God, you may even give us stuff that we're not even praying for. But Lord, I'm asking you that you would supply us with some big answers. But Lord, drive us to pray bigger prayers. God, lead us to pray for maybe what doesn't come natural, but Lord, will come supernatural. So Lord, hear the prayers of your church today. Shake up our lives. Shake up our church. And God, I pray that you would shake up our city so that we would see many people one to you. And God, we'll thank you. We'll give you praise. Now, hear the words of your people as we seek your face. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we all said amen. If you need to pray a big prayer, you can come to the altar. You can turn at your seat. But we're going to make this a whole house of prayer. And if God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless.